I'm Krista Whitney, the wife of Josh Whitney, one of our pastors here at The Rock. Thanks for joining us. Brady, will you turn the crowd lights up a little bit for me so I can see all of their faces a little better? These lights are bright. It's hard to see all your smiling faces. So if you missed last month, Mary did a good job of talking about foundational empowerment. Our theme this year is empower. She defined empower as to equip, supply, give power to, and enable. And she told us to be empowered, we first need a relationship with God. And so that's where the first part of our theme verse this year comes from. It's Galatians 5:25. It says, since we live by the Spirit, so we have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ that gives us spiritual life. And then the second part of the verse goes on and says, let us also keep in step or walk with the Spirit. So Mary talked about how we do this by pursuing a relationship with the Lord through the Word, through prayer, and through living the empowered life, or one might say a life of obedience. And I appreciate, I don't know if you remember, you guys wrote this question down that she says she asks herself every day. She says, what does the Lord want me to do? And then I would say the follow-up to that question tonight for us is, will I do it? So I think the heart of that decision of will I actually do what God wants me to do is our belief about authority and submission. So let's start. Mary shared one of the verses that I want to start with tonight. It's from 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. It says, you are not your own, for you were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. And that is such a good reminder for us. We are not our own. We belong to another. When we become a Christian, we make a choice to come before the Lord. We are humble. We believe his assessment about us. We're lost. We've gone our own way. We rebelled against God and God's authority. And then at salvation, we die to our old selves, to our old thoughts, our old ways, and to sin. And we come before the Lord in repentance and faith. And then this is what for? In 2 Corinthians, oh, this is on your handout too, by the way, if you have your handouts. It says, he died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. So God died for us that we might live for him. The challenge for us comes in that while we have died to sin, we still have to make a daily choice to not live in it, to not live for ourselves. And that's where tonight's topic comes in, authority and submission. So every day I have this question for you guys on your handout and up here on PowerPoint, but every day I think we're faced with this fundamental question, who will decide how I live today? That's a question of authority. So I want to talk tonight about being women under authority in our daily lives, what that looks like to live a life in submission to Christ, to no longer live for ourselves, but for him who loves us and gave himself up for us. So with 20 minutes, this is only going to be a brief discussion of the subject, not the definitive talk on it. But our goal this year is to just as speakers give you guys some thoughts to chew on. And then the real work comes when you sit in your breakdown group and you talk through some stuff that God taught you, convicted you in, and then what that's going to look like to obey it. So let's pray real quick, and then I'll get into what God has for our time tonight. God, we thank you for each woman that you brought here tonight. Lord, we thank you for just their heart to hear from you. God, we just pray, like we sang in that song, open up our ears so that we might hear how your word, it burns like fire. God, we pray that your word would be preeminent in our hearts tonight. God, we pray that we would hear from you, that you would speak to each one of us, give us all something to obey. God, just speak through me, use my words to teach the women your thoughts. God, just pray that they would remember what you have for them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so first of all, I want to talk through authority and submission and kind of what they mean. And this is on your handout too, just the definition of authority. It's the power or right to influence or command thought, opinion, or behavior. So that definition really brings us to that question, is who will decide how I live today? Who has the right to command my thoughts, opinions, and behavior? Who is my authority? The author Wayne Grudem gives a definition of the authority of Scripture, the question of God's word, and its place in our life. Here's what he says. The authority of Scripture means that all the words in Scripture are God's words in such a way that to disbelieve or disobey any word of Scripture is to disbelieve or disobey God. I think that's a convicting definition of the power of Scripture in our life. And we could have several teachings on the subject of the authority of Scripture, but for the purpose of tonight's teaching, I'm going to assume that most of you believe in the authority of God's Word because you're a Christian, because you're a follower of Christ. You accepted His authority in your life at salvation. When you trusted in Him and His assessment of you, you admitted this is God's world. You're going to live God's way through faith in Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross. Matthew 28, I imagine most of you guys know it. So Jesus says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And who gave Him this authority? Ephesians 1 says, the Father put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church. So Jesus is our authority. He's our head, and we all know that, but I think we can struggle to live like that each day. And here's why. I have a quote from Paul Tripp. He's a pastor and author. He addresses the subject of authority in his parenting book, and he talks about how it relates to children, but I think his thoughts are true for all of us related to this subject. It's a long quote, but it's worth it, so read it with me. He says, there is no more important heart issue for every child, I would say every person, ever born than the issue of authority. Your children must learn early that they have been born into a world of authority and they're not it. Why is this so important? Because submission to authority that is not me is unnatural for any sinner. Sin makes us want to our own way. Sin makes us want to set our own rules. Sin convinces all of us that we know better. Sin causes me to want to do what I want to do, when and how I want to do it. Sin makes me resist being told what to do by another. Sin really does insert me in the center of my world, the one place I must never be, because it is the place for God and God alone. And I think that's so true, and I feel that battle for authority in my heart every single day of my life. While I was preparing for this teaching, my husband said to me one afternoon, you should go work on your teaching for a while this afternoon. And you know what I said? Well, I'm not going to. I have a lot of other things to do. And a week or so later, I was working on this teaching, and God reminded me of that conversation I had with my husband, and I had to repent to Him for my total disregard for His leadership in my life. But because of our flesh and the world and just the deceitfulness of Satan, there is not a day that goes by in my life, and I would guess yours, that we aren't faced with whether or not we're going to live under God's authority or just go our own way. So submission. How does submission play into this? This definition is also on your handout. This was Josh taught, if you guys were here a couple weeks ago, he taught in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And if you missed it, it was an excellent teaching. So helpful, I think, just for us as women, laid such a good foundation. The definition he gave in his teaching was submit means to place oneself under, to be under God's arrangement, to obey, to be subject to. And Josh talked about how submission is a foundational part of a mature Christian's life. And he gave us this list, I put on your handout too, of these 9 different examples of where we're called to submit as Christians. So we submit to God, God's word, each other, our pastors, the church submits to Christ, wives submit to their own husband, children submit to their parents, employees submit to their boss, and then we all submit to our government. And I don't know how you guys left that teaching, but Josh, I feel like, made it so palatable that I left going, yeah, that all makes sense. That's so true. That's how we should live. But I think, you know, the next day, it was like, well, will I? Will I live like that? Will God be my authority? Will I let Him be the one who decides how I live today? And I think that right to influence my thought and behavior is a challenge every day. Who do I give that right to? Sin, as Paul Tripp says, inserts me at the center of my life. So how do we conquer that opposition in our own hearts and submit to the Lord? So for our kids, when we ask them to do something, we expect them to obey quickly, we expect them to obey completely, and we expect them to obey with the right attitude, or some say cheerfully. And that shows a submissive heart, an obedient heart. And the truth is, when I look at myself, I can be very slow to obey. I know what I should do. I just don't really feel like doing it. I can make excuses for why I don't do the right thing. I justify my behavior because of somebody else's sin. I sometimes just go, that situation was right, so I didn't have any choice but to not do the right thing. I'm tempted to give an outward impression of having a submissive attitude when in my heart I have a very bad attitude. And I would say all those things, it's not a right heart. It's not submission. It's not obedience. And I want to share, I have a quote from Jerry Bridges because I think it's really easy for us to take disobedience lightly and to not call it sin when we have an unsubmissive or rebellious heart. We can just say things like, oh, yeah, I kind of struggled with that. That was kind of hard for me. Or I kind of did that. Or, yeah, I didn't have the best attitude. We can kind of make light of things. But I like this quote because he doesn't make any excuses here. He says, sin, in the final analysis, is rebellion against the sovereign creator, ruler, and judge of the universe. It resists the rightful prerogative of a sovereign ruler to command obedience from his subjects. It says to an absolute holy and righteous God that his moral laws, which are a reflection of his own nature, are not worthy of our wholehearted obedience. And I see and feel my own sin so clearly in this area of submission and authority. And I wonder if you guys do too. I, you know, even share this with my kids, and I think they all have the sense of, oh yeah, that can be our hurt too. And you know, as I was preparing this, I thought, man, thanks be to God for his overwhelming grace that not only saves us from our sin, but empowers us to live in a right way that pleases God. Made me think of John 1, where it says, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. And I feel that every day. Man, that's what I need, grace upon grace upon grace, every single day in this area. So what does that grace look like in our lives? What does it practically look like as a woman to live a life in submission to God and God's authority? What does it look like to answer that question rightly? Who will decide how I live today? Josh said in my talk pretty perfectly, so I just want to go through a few things on his list and just give you some examples from my life so you can kind of learn just that process and what it looks like. So the first one is just submitting to God and God's word. So last week, some of my children were being unkind to my youngest, and as long as I can remember, I've always just been like the one for the little guy. Whoever was like weaker or younger or disadvantaged or the underdog, that was like who I would root for. And I think that's God's heart too. He's the defender of widows, the father to the fatherless. I think that's his heart. But that perspective doesn't always lead me to making right decisions in parenting. And on this day, it really didn't. So some of my children had said some things that hurt their younger brother. He felt demeaned and criticized and was crying. And it was sin on their part and needed to be dealt with. So I gave a nice angry lecture while they were standing on the stairs about how poorly they treated their brother, and I was unhappy and they knew it. And then I walked back to my room, and as I went by Josh's office, you know, when he's working, he usually shuts the door, but his door was open, and I looked at him, and I was like, did you hear that? And he's like, uh-huh. And I was like, oh, well, here's what your children did, you know, and I just justified it to them, and I was like, they were being unwise, so that's why I was unhappy. And he was very gracious, and I went back to my room, and the Lord, you know, I sat down, and the Lord started speaking to me, and he brought to mind that Proverbs 29:11, it says, a fool gives full vent to her spirit, but a wise woman quietly holds hers back. And I battled with God to be my own authority. I was like, no, they treated their brother poorly. They've done this before. They deserve to have me come down hard on them. And God reminded me of James 1:20, the anger of man does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. And I knew I was angry, and I knew that they should not have done what they did, so I was like, I might just let my anger sit in their hearts a little bit, let them feel bad for a little while before I apologize. And then God brought to mind Psalm 103, where he says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. God reminded me, their sin does not justify yours, Krista. I remember that you are but dust. You are weak, you are in need of my grace, and so are your children. So I went downstairs, I apologized for my sinful anger towards them, and it was a small thing, I think, in that day, but it was an opportunity for me to have God and God's word exercise authority over me and for me to have a chance to live a life in submission to Christ. I humbled myself and let God determine how I should live as a parent. So a second example, submitting to our pastors. So that verse in Hebrews that Josh listed, it says we should obey our leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. And before I share this example, I want to share a quote from Elizabeth Elliot just to give you guys some framework. She says, acceptance of the divinely ordered hierarchy means acceptance of authority. First of all, God's authority, and then those lesser authorities which he has ordained. The mature woman acknowledges that submission is the will of God for her. So as Christian, we live our lives in submission to God and God's word. That's our highest authority. And he gives us these lesser authorities, pastors, your own husband, if you have one, parents, if you're a child at home, your boss, the government, these lesser authority God ordains to help us have tangible people in our lives to check our hearts. So when sin inserts me at the center of my world, God uses these very clear and real authorities to help my heart get back where it needs to be with God and God alone determining what my life looks like. God makes his invisible authority visible by giving us these authority figures as our representatives. Does that make sense? Yes? Does that make sense? So God gives us these men to watch over our souls, our pastors. One day, those eight men are going to stand before God and give an account for how they led this church. They are responsible for your souls. It's no light thing. They make decisions not for themselves, but for the sake of our spiritual well-being as a church. So an example from my life, when our pastors decided, I don't remember how many years ago, maybe four or five, to combine Provo back with Draper, I was sad, but you know, I trusted that's what God had for our lives and that was what God wanted. Then when they decided to combine the downtown church with Draper, I was like, okay, I trust, you know, our pastors, I see God's plan in this. And then we decided to take West, where we were, me and my children, and combine, you know, bring us to Draper here. That affected me personally. And so I wrestled with God on this because I was comfortable and I didn't want things to change. And so while that one example before with the kids kind of happened over a series of minutes, this example happened over a period of weeks. And I wrestle with God. You know, he gave me the verse in Luke 9:58. It says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. A home brings comfort. And I didn't want to be uncomfortable. I liked the comfort of the home that we were in. I liked what God had given us. God brought to mind Luke 9. It says, whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. God wanted me to give up the life that we had there for those 3 years. Not for, you know, for it was for our church's sake and the greater good of everyone, not just what I perceived as the greater good for me. So as God was working with my heart, I was like, okay, I'll go back, but I'm not going to do it with an open heart. You know, that bad attitude that can stick in our hearts even if we decide to do the right thing. It's like, I'm sticking where I'm at relationally, and I don't plan on opening my heart to anything or anyone new. It was this authority battle in my heart, what my attitude was going to be. And God gave me Proverbs 21. It says, the desire of the sluggard kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. All day long he craves and craves, but the righteous gives and does not hold back. And God corrected me. He said, Krista, do not be a sluggard. You go and you don't hold back in those relationships and all the new things that I have for you. And by the grace of God, I yielded to God and to his authority. And I remember telling my husband, I'm with you, I'm with our pastors, and with a submissive heart before the Lord, I knew that God was calling us forward, and I wasn't going to look back, and God was doing something new. I wanted to be part of what he was doing through our pastors. And I just want to say, I know many of you have followed our pastors here to Draper from other locations, and I commend you as a church for standing with our pastors and submitting to their leadership and authority, and ultimately to God's authority in your lives. You guys have rightly answered the question, who will determine how I live? All right, next example, a wife submits to her husband. So this summer, I did a book study with some women on the book Feminine Appeal by Carolyn Mahaney, and one of the discussions that she asked in the back of the book was, what does submission mean to you? And one of the women in our group said, it means not having my own way. And, you know, that's not the definition I shared earlier, but as I thought about that, I was like, yeah, if I'm getting my own way, am I really having to submit? I think if you get your own way, that's just agreement. I don't know that that's submission. And the example I want to share for you from my life is as a wife, but I think this picture of submission holds true in all the other authority relationships that Josh listed. So see the bigger picture in this example and how it applies to your life, either as a child at home, at your work, whatever your life situation is. So I thought about sharing a story of some big ways that I feel like I've had to submit to my husband and his leadership, like moving to Utah or buying our house or some big financial decisions. But I decided to share a way that God asked me to submit to my husband every single day. Because I think it's a daily chance for me to just ask myself, who's going to decide how I live today? Will it be me or God? So if you guys know Josh and I well, you know that we have really different time consciences. And so our first conflict was actually on his birthday. We were dating, it was like 20 years ago, and I had said that I would be at his room around 3-ish, and I arrived late, of course, at the dorm, and then I ran into, you know, a bunch of people along the way, and of course had to talk to them, and so 3-ish turned into 4 p.m. And so he wasn't quite as good at communicating back then, but I found out later that this is a pretty significant offense against my, you know, future husband. He's an early guy. And so being late really shows a lack of love for him, and it shows a lack of consideration for him and his time. So for years, we had lots of conflict about my lateness. He was timely, I was late. And I wanted to go places, you know, when I thought we should go. I wanted to run on my schedule, do things the way I wanted to do them. And God gave me this verse in Philippians 2 that said, "Do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility consider others more important than yourself." So as time went on, I became more willing to work with Josh in his time, but I still was like, but I'm right. I'll work with you, but I'm right. And then God gave me, you know, 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love does not seek its own. And I was like, ooh, I'm not right because I'm not acting in love. I am seeking my own here. So I chose to love him by being willing to operate on his time conscience and not mine. Then God took it a step further, and this one can be hard as a wife. This verse always gets me, Ephesians 5. This is the verse Josh had on the handout for wives. But it says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. As the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands." And over time, I came to see God was actually telling me what time I needed to leave. So to not submit to my husband's authority, and this was to not leave when God was asking me to leave. Now, the reason I share this battle in my heart over time is that this is a regular check for me, daily, even tonight. I was like, what time do you think I should leave? And he's like, 6:00. And I was like, that's so early. And he saw it on my face and he's like, well, I bet you could do 6:15. I was like, okay, 6:15. I can do 6:15. I mean, it's just every day of my life. There's some chance for me to go, am I going to honor God and his authority, or am I going to live my own way? And Josh, you know, he hears me, he understands my thoughts, he helps me in my lateness, he loves me in the midst of it, but he leads me in what he knows God has for our family, and I get a regular choice to be under God's authority each day in this. So those are just three examples from my life. I don't have time to share submission to all the lesser authorities that God gives us. I share this teaching with my kids, and they were able to extrapolate their own application for them as children. So I trust God will do that in your hearts too. I think the key question, though, is the same in each one of those situations. Who will decide how I live today? Will it be me, or will it be God? Will I submit to God and God's word and his authority in my life? And will I submit to those lesser authorities that he gives as representatives of himself? I want to finish back where I started with the thought that our life is not our own, as 1 Corinthians says. Jesus in love died for us so that we would no longer live for ourselves, but for him. It is God's will that we live lives of submission to his authority and to the authorities that God has placed in our lives. And what benefit is that to us? Let me read this quote from Elizabeth Elliot. She says, "From Genesis to Revelation, we are shown in countless stories of God's dealings with people that it is his will to make them free, to give them joy. Sometimes the process of freeing them is a painful one. It meant death for the Son of Man, his life for ours. He came not to condemn, not to imprison, not to enslave. He came to give life." And I want to encourage you, sisters, life is only found in Christ. He came to make us free, to give us joy. As we daily put to death our flesh and live lives under the authority of Christ, God, in his grace, gives us the strength to conquer our own selfish hearts and live in submission to him and to those lesser authorities that Christ has given us. So may God help each one of us answer that question rightly tonight. Who will decide how I live today? May it be God in each one of our lives. So let's pray. God, thanks so much for tonight. Thank you for these women. Thanks for a chance to just share briefly on, Josh, just your place in your life, your place in our lives, God. We thank you that you love us, God, that you came to free us, God, from ourselves and our own selfishness and our own sin. God, we pray that you would give us grace to recognize each day those challenges we have to either submit to you and your authority or to be our own authorities, God, and just go our own way. We pray that you would just, through your Spirit, work in our hearts, empower us, God, to humbly live lives in submission to you, God. We know that's where life is found. We thank you so much that you did come to give us life. Thank you for tonight. Pray you would just bless our discussion groups, God, bless our conversations, and help us to just come away with all with something to obey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.